I'm Elm.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we're covering Superman Brainiac Attacks.
Amazing. Back to Superman from all that Batman.
Yep, so we're actually taking quite a period off of Batman at the moment.
Yeah, a bit of a break. We've had a lot of Batman, though. I mean, we did have a bit of a run.
We've had a lot of Batman so far. We've had three versions of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Two different versions of Bruce Wayne. But we're on a run of the next three films. There is no Batman.
Oh, my Lord.
And then after that, I think it's the New Frontier, which is sort of... It's
got a
not
little
the
bit,
Batman,
but
you know. Batman Gotham Knight, where we get six versions of Batman.
Okay, they make it up to us, then, is what you're basically saying.
And then Mortal Kombat vs. DC Universe does have Batman. But thankfully, Superman's the main character.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Then we get away from Batman for two movies, because it's Wonder Woman and Green Lantern, and their first movies.
Nice.
And then we get Superman, Batman, Public Enemies.
Oh, interesting.
Which is another completely different version.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Exciting, though. I'm looking forward to doing a bit of Superman.
This is a bit strange.
Mm-hmm.
This is not set in the animated series universe.
Oh, interesting.
But all the templates for the characters are lifted from Superman the Animated Series. So it's a bit bizarre. Also, this Lex Luthor is not going to be Clancy Brown.
Oh, no.
Instead, we have Powers Booth.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can see that.
Who's turned up now and again. I've got to be honest, the main thing I know him from is the Sin City films.
Yeah, same. Yeah. He's been in a lot of stuff, so.
He's been in a lot of stuff, indeed. We also have Brainiac returning, this time voiced by Lance Henriksen.
Oh, I love him.
Hooray. And even though we don't have... This is not Superman the Animated Series, we do have Tim Daly and Dana Delaney back.
Hooray.
So it's... I've not seen this at all. I'm very interested to see where it goes.
Wow.
Are you looking forward to it?
I am looking forward to it because it's something a bit different. So we'll see. But
awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll go and watch it. We might not be alone when we come back.
Yeah, who knows? Interesting. See you soon.
I am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catches.
Just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week. Up,
up, up, up and away! Away.
And we're back. In the interim, we have been joined by a special guest. So, our first returning guest, in fact, from the Iron Fist podcast and the Last Sons of Krypton, it is Connor McKenna. Welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for having me back. Oh, sorry.
Always a pleasure.
My beard.
Your lockdown beard.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's cool to be back and talking about this, what we're covering. which I won't reveal.
Well, no, it's you can reveal it. We've already done like a 5-minute chat on it beforehand.
Okay. That
we recorded 2 weeks ago. So it's Superman Brainiac Attacks,
mm-hmm.
which I had such high hopes for 2 weeks ago.
Me too.
Wait, you guys had high hopes? Because all I've heard about it is that it's bad.
Well, I've not heard anything about any of them, you have to remember, or very, very little about most of them. And like, I think we were both quite excited to have a non-Batman focused one.
Right.
So that's what, you know, like, and it's always nice to have a bit of a...
We're just taking a week off Batman.
Yeah, generally. I mean, always.
Yeah.
So that's why. That gives you some context of why we were like, yay, Superman. And it's nice to know you were coming on, and I know Brainiacs. I know a little bit about Brainiac, so, yeah. You know.
It's actually first time I've seen this one, even though I've seen every single other Superman animated movie. Because, like, I kept hearing how this one was really awful, and I was like, mm-hmm. I don't think it's that bad, but I guess I heard it was, like, the worst thing ever, whereas you guys were excited.
I've definitely seen worse.
Yeah.
I think what I would say is, the issue I had is because they have reused the animation style from Superman the Animated Series, it's really jarring how different the characters are, particularly Luthor.
The characters are kind of very much more unlikable other than Clark, because he's never really unlikable. I mean, or if he has, you've lost it, really. Like, you've lost it.
If he has, it's Injustice, so...
And that's... You already know you're in a different world then.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder, I think, is more rather than unlikable for a lot of it. But yeah. But yeah, I just thought Lois and Jimmy and Lex, they were all just like sad shadows of like where they're done really well.
Lois and Jimmy seem the same to me in the animated series. I guess Jimmy was a bit less likable. He was annoying me a lot in this movie, but Lois is pretty much the same. Lex was like the big one, though, like he was possessed by a teenager. It was like that Supernatural episode where Sam gets the teenager inside of him. That's what I felt like I was watching. It was so weird. Yeah.
Well, I think what's happened is in this film, it's Tim Daly's back as Superman, who was the animated series voice actor. Dana Delaney's back as Lois Lane.
Yeah.
I think Lance Henriksen's new to Brainiac.
He is,
and Powers Booth, who at this point had played Gorilla Grodd in the DC Animated Universe.
That's amazing.
Replaced Clancy Brown as Lex Luthor.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, I love him, but like, no, come on, that's not a good change.
The writer has explicitly stated, this is not meant to be a carry-on of that continuity as well. So though it looks like it is not.
Which is weird, because you could, like, it doesn't have that many contradictions, not a particularly glaring, so it could be in the same universe, really.
The only thing that might be shown, I know that in Justice League Unlimited, is that one of the final episodes is Luthor basically bonds with Brainiac.
Right.
Fights Justice League.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I remember that. I think that's like the only contradiction, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we start the film off. So, this film is actually available in 4 parts on YouTube for free. Okay,
cool.
Sweet.
Worth it.
The opening credits, they spared no expense.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's two white text on black screens, and there is...
They were really awful, and the music wasn't great, and I know it had, like, the Superman theme behind it, but it was just like, okay.
The music did feel pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a meteor heading, just traveling in space, and then we cut to Lex Luthor complaining about the fact that after all his digging, he has the tiniest sliver of kryptonite.
And it's not that small. I mean, it's like crystal ball sized, right? It's not tiny, tiny. Like, the way he's talking about it, geez.
I think that's a containment ball.
It's okay.
The tiny little sliver in the middle is actually the kryptonite he's got.
That shows me why I should have been watching it with my distance glasses.
The whole thing is, Lex is supposed to be smart. I mean, if you have a shot of kryptonite, the amount of stuff he could do with that, he could run tests on it, maybe figure out how to duplicate it, or how to create it under certain conditions. I don't know, something. Well, yeah, hell, it's even the size of a bullet. But he just complains about it and wants to throw it out. And that was when I was just like, whoa, that's not Lex.
And we also... we get our first scene of Mercy sitting on a desk, which seems to be basically what she does this entire film.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Mercy sitting on desk parts.
Yeah. Sits on a desk and his voice put her strong.
It's all Jimmy cares about, though, so it's all right.
It's then established, and Lex Luthor introduces us as though his assistant knew nothing about this. Oh, I have built a giant weapon satellite that's going to protect
Earth. Yeah, I was a bit bored. I thought I'd just do it.
Mm.
At no point did I notice, since it had already fallen out of the sky, I didn't notice the Justice League base that's been built. The satellite gets its first test when a meteor turns hard right in front of it.
Yeah, it's a very bizarre, little, very intelligent. But then, of course, it is, because it's an idiot.
Yeah, and immediately fails, which is funny.
Yeah.
Probably got it from IKEA.
Yeah. So, the meteor attacks the... is this meant to be the base that controls the Lex 9000 satellite?
I think so.
I
think so, because he's using it after he attacks the base, so...
yeah. Perry White's reaction is... an alien that has previously shut down all our technology in the past is back. Quick, someone go look at it.
Yeah.
But the thing with Lois is, Lois seems to have gone from being a journalist who's in the middle of the action and that's how she gets caught to, no, I'm deliberately going to do the most dangerous thing I can so that Superman can save me.
Yeah, I mean, she really bugged me in this, because it's like, Jimmy's like, why do you keep doing this stuff? And she's like, oh, because he's there. And I'm like, well, how many times has Superman been hurt, hit by lasers or something to save your sorry behind? Because you're just, like, running around.
It actually really annoyed me. It actually did really, annoy me more than I thought it would. Just how ridiculously, oh, it's fine, yeah, I'll just throw myself into danger because I quite fancy Superman.
Yeah, and Superman is like, he's trying to fight and...
but it's like, maybe he has better people to save than you right now, Lois. And
yeah, what about the one time he isn't able to,
Yeah, about the one time an entire airline's coming down? Oh no, we'll save Lois.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that. Because that actually does become a plot point at one point.
I know.
Lex displays surprised Pikachu face when he finds out Brainiac's attacked. He didn't know what movie he's in. Superman flies in and starts to fight with Brainiac. And Brainiac just decides to use all of Lex's arsenal against him.
I thought the fight wasn't bad at the start. I was expecting the animation in the fighting to not be as good as it was.
Yeah, I thought the animation was fine. Just some of the characterization and other stuff that I didn't love. Yeah.
The fight is really good. One thing I did find a bit strange early on in the fight is right at the start, Brainiac comes out and goes, I'm going to take all the data. Superman casually lasers him into the wall and collapses rubble, and then just like, yeah, I'm done. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, Brainiac's kind of like, I guess, I know it's not supposed to be the animated universe, but it's all the same design, so he's kind of like inconsistent with how easily he's defeated or not, But I will say I really liked Lance Henriksen as Brainiac. In fact, I think he's better than the normal animated Brainiac.
I did like his voice work as Brainiac.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, a big fan of his anyway, but I don't know if I'd have known it was him unless I'd known it was him, but I just thought it was really good work.
I think him and Tim Daly were very strong as the two main characters, and it's kind of a shame that they didn't get a better movie to work off each other with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that Brainiac does is Brainiac hacks the Lex 9000 to fire on Superman, which I kind of assumed was the whole point of the weapon anyway, was to take out Superman, and that was his secret intention.
Right, and that's what I thought as well.
Lex seems to react like, oh, I could have used it against Superman.
He really is the stupidest.
Well, I think it's more like he knows it could have been used against Superman, but he wanted to curry public favor and overshadow Superman by installing
the
single stop
alien
threat.
That's probably why he wanted more Krypton.
I do find it funny how he just kind of pull, like, the limo casually pulls up while there's this, like, Titanic fight going on. Like, nothing's happening, Mercy's just driving casually.
And he asks someone to get him popcorn.
Oh, my God. He's a teenager. Like, he's not... This is worse than, like, Gene Hackman, Lex Luthor. Like, he's... Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, how much of comic relief he is. It's like,
he's
wow.
A clown. He is a clown, yeah.
He is. He doesn't even seem that smart, like, at all. So it was a bizarre choice. And it's a weird choice how Lex, and it happens to Lex all the time in movies, he's always, like, made a humorous character because of the original.
Yeah, yeah.
They just keep doing it. It's like, stop, it doesn't work.
He's better when he's not humorous.
They could give him really frizzy hair and get him to act like he's on ADHD medication.
So the Riddler?
Pretty much.
So, yeah. So it's actually, as you can imagine, it's quite a good little fight. It ends with Superman freezing Brainiac with his frost breath and then shattering him into a million pieces.
Savage. I love it.
Yeah,
when he did that, I was like, yeah. Because, like, with Superman's no kill thing, I know in the past he, like, in pre-Crisis, he wouldn't kill Brainiac because he thought he could be, like, programmed for good or something. But I don't know. I consider Brainiac just to be, like, this giant malevolent entity that's not really alive. And, like, you should just try and destroy it. Because he always comes back anyway. He has, like, a million bodies or whatever, so...
Yeah.
There's no point holding back. So, yeah, it was, like, surprising but satisfying. And, like, I guess they... It's not a violent movie, but, like, they really have Superman go all out because it is a robot.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're able to show him, like, punching holes at it and stuff.
They're not allowed to show him do it all the time. So, yeah, this is a good opportunity because you know it's not, you know.
Yeah.
It's... I mean, it is one of these things that's really jarring. It's... A bit like the movie we were talking about previously was the Batman versus Dracula. And it has this same thing where if you actually look at the plot, there's a lot of killing and violence.
Yeah.
But because it's done in this sort of really hot, you know, lighthearted tone, it doesn't register.
Mm-hmm. It's not as bad, yeah.
At this point, we have Superman has to go save Lois. Because the tower she climbed up for no discernible reason collapses.
Well, it's always just to get his attention, isn't it? it seems to only ever be to get Superman's attention. I'll just fling myself off things.
I took it more as she's just careless because she knows he'll save her.
Yeah, okay.
Which is still bad, but that's more in line with her character, how her character's been a lot of the time.
Just annoyed me.
It is annoying, and Lois Lane is annoying. Like, I like Lois Lane, but a lot of time I find her really annoying, exactly because of stuff like this. And it kind of reminds me of back in, was it like the 60s or 70s? But yeah, Jimmy Olsen has his signal watch.
Mm-hmm.
They get him Lois Lane one.
As well. Yeah, yeah.
But Lois Lane just kept using it for everything, so they had to take it off her. Superman's like, you know what, you can't have this.
Just so we've kind of established Brainiac's powers, are his powers in line with what they normally are, kind of able to integrate any nearby technology, able to hack everything?
Yeah, I mean, that's classic Brainiac. I once read a story, which is a really good one, where he pretty much hacked the entire planet Like, he took over every single piece of electronics, I think, except for the Fortress of Solitude, and that was, like, a really cool issue. So I think that's, like, that's once they made Brainiac, like, an AI instead of an alien, I think that's been one of his most consistent traits, is being able to sort of integrate with machinery and stuff.
It's a good trait.
Yeah, no, it is. He's a good villain. I find it, yeah.
I know you like him a lot, so...
Yeah, I like him a lot, but he's definitely inconsistent in a lot of things. But did you guys ever watch the animated series where he's, like, introduced?
I've not.
Okay.
I've watched it, but it was a long time ago. Yeah. I know, obviously, he's set up in the opening three episodes that you guessed it on.
Yes, he is. He seems consistent in this to, like, his animated sort of series counterpart, just a bit different.
Yeah.
Like, he's more powerful, but he's also less powerful, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I remember he was bringing Superman to his knees with just an energy beam that he made from himself. He didn't need kryptonite or anything to damage Superman or a satellite in the animated series.
In the aftermath, Lex is able to find a remaining chip, Brainiac. There seems to be this whole obsession with where Lex Luthor keeps trying to be Superman's friend for the cameras.
Yeah, that was like kind of when they made him like a mogul. I think the reason he originally became Superman's enemy in the 80s is because Superman snubbed him publicly, because Lex wants to look like Superman's friend so that people will love him. But if Superman snubs him, it makes him look really bad. So I feel like that's kind of what they're doing here.
I mean, he does always seem to want to be his friend, which is always weird to me.
I think like, for his own gain, though, I don't think he actually wants to be his friend.
Yeah, no, I don't think he has. Yeah, I think it's always for
his own. Absolutely. So we then find out that Clark Kent, apparently, despite the fact that he's really busy being Superman, is also simultaneously a brilliant journalist.
Of course.
I mean, that's kind of easy with super speed and super thinking and stuff.
And Perry White wants Clark to work as the quote-unquote foreign correspondent.
Of course.
I actually like that idea of Clark being a foreign correspondent.
It makes sense. I mean, it makes more sense if you know he's Superman, because he can zoom off to different places.
It's exactly. I remember he was in Birthright before he became Superman. So
yeah,
but they don't really do much with it in this, but I did like it. I thought it was neat that he was kind of torn between staying in Metropolis, because, you know, if he leaves Metropolis, Lois Lane will die. So
yeah. And meanwhile, Jimmy Olsen really likes Mercy Graves.
Yeah, he really does.
I mean, I like her too, but there's like,
yeah, but he's like verging on dodgy.
Verging on dodgy?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure Jimmy is actually a teenager. Like, I'm pretty sure he's like 16 years old.
He certainly acts like one.
Like, I think he literally is, because I remember in the animated series he had a whole thing with Kara, who was also like 16 years old, so... It's kind of like, yeah, it didn't surprise me he acted like that, but it's still annoying, because that poor girl he keeps snubbing. I don't know, maybe the whole time I was just thinking, why does Jimmy get to snub a girl? I want a food critic girlfriend, and here's Jimmy just throwing it away, and I have to watch this?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so I can't remember why. I have a note here. Oh, I meant to ask, Rebecca, did you take notes this time?
I took, like, some notes, but I got distracted. I got a little bit distracted because I was a bit busy. And also, once I realised that I wasn't enjoying it very much, I kind of started, my notes started getting a little bit more slack, like, here goes Lois again. So, you know, but I did start, like, so the process has begun.
All I've got on my notes here is, ew, Lois. So she must have said or done something that just made me go...
You see, that's like my notes. They're all like, Lois. Like, why?
I don't remember an eerie Lois moment.
But I think but I remember a lot of, she's just on her crap again. Sorry.
I can't remember where exactly that part was, but it's like kind of early in my notes, so I think we might have passed it. When Perry's chewing that random dude out in his office, saying he should be more like Clark Kent, I thought that was pretty funny.
The Brainiac fight.
I actually thought that was genuinely amusing.
That was pretty good.
He's always like, who is this guy that's just being chewed out?
Right.
Well, we don't see him again. So.
No.
Lex Luthor is in his lab, and he gives Brainiac an eye.
I mean, it's funny, because, like, they're just so funny together, and they're still kind of rubbish.
Yeah, it's the, let's team together to take out Superman. And then it gets weird, because it's like, oh, and what we'll do is, if you kill Superman, I can then chase you off, and then I can dominate this planet, and you can go dominate another planet.
Yeah, just any other one. Doesn't matter. Yeah,
which I'm sure Brainiac will be cool with.
It's at this point I go, so Brainiac's going to betray him, right?
Yeah, right? It's not exactly a duh.
It is generally the way Lex and Brainiac team-ups go. They always just double-cross each other.
I mean, it kind of makes sense, so...
It kind of makes more sense when they're on an equal level of intellect.
Yes, yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, but they never really are, though. Unless it's like, you know, Lex has some sort of cunning that Brainiac doesn't have. Because Brainiac is just, like, literally smarter because he's not human. You know, he's a giant robot thing. Or an alien that's absorbed the knowledge of, like, 10,000 worlds.
Yeah, so he's always going to be above and beyond.
But it's generally above and beyond Luthor. But, like, it's still generally a good dynamic when they team up, for lack of a better word. Although, it was actually, we just covered Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, and their team up in that was pretty one-sided.
That's the Alan Moore comic book, isn't it?
Yeah,
Brainiac, like, horrifically takes him over immediately and uses his body as a puppet for, like, the whole thing, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But because I've actually yet to read that. I do need to get that read at some point. Because I've got the sort of Batman, someone kind of made Neil Gaiman made a Batman equivalent, which was Whatever Happened to the Cape
Crusader. Is
it? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And that's a weird story.
I've never actually read it. But I do know of it. I do have it. I just haven't read it.
The only bit I remember from it fully is because it's like various realities of Batman in a funeral. One of the realities, Alfred is Joker, and it's purely like Alfred pretends to be Joker, so Bruce has someone to fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's just sad.
It is.
It's
like, what a loser.
What a loser. I've actually got... Didn't someone put up a panel recently? How many people have you paid to laugh at my jokes?
Yeah, that's the Batman one, right? Yeah. That's from a not canon story as well. Right, if anybody wants to read it, it's Warren Ellis's new run, Batman's Grave. The Batman's Grave? Something like that.
I actually stopped reading that after a couple of issues.
To be honest, I only managed to read the first one, but that's just because I thought, oh, I'll buy the trade if people say it's a good. Yeah. It was around the time I was cutting back on comics, but that interaction of him sort of saying you pay people to laugh at your jokes made me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We get our very short cameo of the Kent family, Ma and Pa Kent.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Superman goes down the logic of, I can't tell Lois that I'm Superman. It will endanger her.
I know.
I mean, that argument.
And they're like, well, we're fine.
If she isn't already endangered all the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Lois. People already know that Lois Lane has some sort of
connection with
Superman. Is a friend of Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
So she'd be much easier to get information out of, because they don't really know about the Kents. So, but like, she's already in danger all the time, so we may as well just tell her.
it's not only that, it's the fact that, look, there's a, at some point she'll figure out, and you're going to go, if she hasn't figured out yet,
mm-hmm. is she going to?
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah, although it's funny because a lot of the time when, like, you know how there's those scenes in that movie where she looks at Clark's face and it's, she kind of sees, like, his jaw and the rest is silhouetted and she's like, whatever. My thought was just, like, thinking, oh, she thinks he's Batman because the shadow makes him look like Batman because him and Batman pretty much have the same jawline, so...
Mm-hmm.
And they look similar enough.
Well, doesn't Superman actually physically... pretend to be in the animated series at some point?
Yeah, they do. He runs around as Batman with Robin and Gotham, which is like, I think we talked about it last episode as well, which
maybe
is definitely worth watching to see Superman trying to act like Batman and you know, fighting Batman villains is extra amusing.
So Lex Luthor fires Brainiac off into space with two presents to bond with the Lex 9000. So he sends him to bond with a sample of Superman DNA.
Mm-hmm.
One, you're telling me you haven't tested it yourself to find out who it is.
Yeah.
The second thing he sends is the remaining sliver of kryptonite that he's got.
Because, yeah, why wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, I don't know what testing the DNA would accomplish, because it's not like, A, Lex doesn't think that Superman's masquerading as anyone, and B, mm-hmm. you'd have to have, like, everyone's DNA on hand to actually draw any conclusion.
Yeah.
In fact, he did it. He did it once, and the result came up Clark Kent.
He'd certainly have to have a lot of familial DNA on record, and the Kents are not known lawbreakers, so, you know.
But even when he did it, and he got Clark Kent, like, he just refused to believe that Superman would debase himself by being Clark Kent, so he just dismissed it. Which is like... Well,
have you ever seen the Facebook page, got a website now, Texts from Superheroes?
Oh, yeah.
There's one where Lex is texting a villain and goes, and someone says, I figured out that Superman is Clark Kent, let's go get him. And Lex goes, no, we already know that. If we let him think that his identity is hidden, he works 8 hours a day, and that's 8 hours that we can go do villain
that's
stuff.
Actually funny.
Yeah, no,
that makes a lot of sense.
As Brainiac is bonding with the, heading up to Lex 9000, we get this compilation of Superman trying to talk to Lois, Clark trying to talk to Lois, only for circumstances to get in the way, including a casual explosion in the building next door.
And he just kind of stands there looking sad she won't talk to him while there's like an explosion. And we don't see any resolution either. It just happens and then there's the next scene.
Uh-huh. And meanwhile, Sarah is trying to talk to Jimmy Olsen and he's just like, nope,
and she
mercy.
Seems really sweet.
She does.
Yeah.
Big fan already. But she seemed really lovely. And he's such a jerk.
Oh, he is. I think they do a very low-key little heartbreaking scene here. So Sarah is the person who is trying to hook up with Jimmy. And she calls in sick as she's got a reservation to a really romantic restaurant that she's going to review.
Mm-hmm.
And she obviously had an extra seat booked.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if the reason she was sick is because she realised Jimmy Olsen wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, it was so
sick. Wow.
Sad.
Should have asked Clark Kent out instead.
Should have
done.
Yeah, he would at least have been a gentleman about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who brought up Jimmy? Jeez, they need talking to.
I agree.
So we then have, as Lois and Clark head to the restaurant because they're going to review it. We have Lex 9000 evolving into a new form of Brainiac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brainiac, as you said, 10,000 worlds he conquered. Is the Lex 9000 really the most powerful thing he's been able to bond with?
Yeah. And, like, mm-hmm. he ends up looking like a, like, vacuum cleaner, I guess. I don't know. I don't think the design was, like,
a little bit impressive. Like a vacuum cleaner, yeah, yeah.
Especially when he was flying, it looked really awkward.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, Superman's being chased by the new vacuum Lex 9000. It's just, yeah. Which sucks, because, like, yeah. Lance Henriksen's voice is, like, really good and menacing, but, you know, the design just sort of was like a wet fart. Yeah.
Yeah. Whilst this is happening, Lex is having dinner amongst his Lex suits with Shock Horror, Mercy sitting on his table.
She likes tables. They're comfy.
Lex doesn't get her a chair, so...
Yeah, maybe he's so cheap. Yeah. You're not allowed a chair. He's like, but, you know, par for the course for, like, millionaire businessmen.
Yeah, so Clark and Lois have this conversation, and I suppose the whole idea is, oh, Lois can't see in front of her what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is definitely true in this case.
Yeah.
Which yeah. you're kind of sitting there going, I thought Lois was meant to be really intelligent. How is
yeah,
she not
they do her a disservice.
I mean, that's the general problem with the secret identity thing, is her not spotting Clark as Superman. Yeah. And the only time I've ever bought that, besides, like, the old pre-Crisis comics, mm-hmm. it's similar as, like, in the Richard Donner movie, because Christopher Reeve does act very different. But, like, the fact that Lois, when Lois is portrayed as, like, super good at her job, which she isn't all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is why I think it was good that in Man of Steel they just had her find out before.
Yeah, yeah, I like that as well.
Like, Lois Lane in those movies is actually too smart to not figure it out.
And I like, I prefer having her smart.
Yeah.
Because I think to be a really good investigative journalist, you have to be smart. And I think, I think otherwise it does a disservice to the profession as well as, you know, to female characters. It's like, it wouldn't matter if it was a male character, I'd feel the same way about investigative journalists being not at least questioning some of these things, even if it's just a professional rivalry thing, like why does Clark keep getting scoops and stuff like that.
Like, Lois has always been smart, but she's definitely gotten smarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it's become less sort of,
so just as Clark is about to tell Lois, wouldn't you know it, Brainiac attacks.
Hey, there we get the title. Ta-da.
See, at least in Death of Superman, he leaves her a note. When he has to go off.
Yeah. Superman and Brainiac fight.
When they fight, they really fight. You know, he's pretty tough for a
this,
vacuum cleaner.
This got, like, to Man of Steel levels, I thought. This is a later fight.
Yeah, they were going through buildings and stuff, which... In Man of Steel, it was his first day, but here it's like, damn, like, it was just surprising because it was like a kid's cartoon as well, and he was just, like, punching him through buildings and stuff that weren't shown to be, like, completely uninhabited, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That is one of the things that does irritate me about a lot of the, ever since Man of Steel and Age of Ultron, there's so many scenes where it's like, and the building is unoccupied. Did you hear that? Unoccupied.
Well, they have to because the reactions they got were like...
Oh, the reactions were so ridiculous.
Oh, they're absurd. It's like, even if you don't like it, Jesus, man. Like, so I think they had to do that, which is a shame, but that's like the audience you're dealing with. So, you know.
I mean, at least they managed to make... Both in Baron Zemo, and it's one of the things about Dawn of Justice that I did like was the fact that no, Bruce Wayne has a legitimate reason to have beef with Superman.
Mm, yeah.
Because as far as he's seen it, this guy's appeared from the sky and he blew up half of Metropolis, including my office.
I mean, he does, but then he kind of turns into a crazy paranoid jerk when he, like, builds a spear to kill him. You know, like, I mean, not even a gun, he just builds a spear. He's like, I want to impale this dude. It's like, whoa, settle down, man. Like, whenever I watch that movie, I view Batman as, like, the antagonist of the first two acts.
I mean, yeah, he's pretty much just acting like a villain. Well, he is, and he doesn't have a cast iron reason for it. He just kind of wades in.
Even Alfred tells him to chill out.
It's Frank Miller's Batman from later in the run.
Yeah.
Where he is.
I'm not. Where it's. I'm not criticizing the way Batman was done. I really liked it. It's just he was definitely set up as, like, as you said, that kind of Miller crazy paranoid Batman. But that's the whole point, is that he goes through an arc and sort of stops being crazy at the end. After that infamous scene.
All he needed to find out is that Superman had a mother with the same name.
It's very small, small things. They're very important.
Look, it's... Okay, look, with that scene, yes, the delivery is awkward.
The delivery's bad. Oh, the idea behind it isn't.
No, I get the point. I just think it's awkward.
Yeah, I think the delivery is awkward, but I think, you know, it is a really good idea. Because... Yeah. Batman's parents is like, that's his whole life. That's everything to him. And then he finds out, oh, I'm Joe Chill now because I'm murdering someone's son with a spear. Yeah. But, like, whenever I do watch it and he's going Martha, I'm like, is that the best take you got? It's like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull when he says,
also, why would you say they're going to kill Martha, not they're going to kill my mom?
Yeah, which actually would have had the same effect, I think. Like, to remind him that it's that he's someone's child.
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess because both
I think that's why it seems clumsy, is because there is another way of doing it, and then afterwards they could, like, find out that they both had the same name. Do you know what I mean? It's like but I don't hate it as a concept. I just think the execution wasn't great.
I even think Martha could have worked if the delivery and execution was better. Because Superman is telling someone else to save someone. So he might be like, I should tell them to save, like, Martha Kent.
Again, you know, if it said Kent.
Yeah, but the it's just one of those unfortunate moments in the movie that was like, oh, just kind of fell on its face.
And it unfortunately is too easy to mock. So I think a lot of people mock it because it's easy. And then, you know.
Yeah.
They probably didn't hate it as much.
It's an important point of the story as well. What? The whole film kind of balances on that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I like the director's cut of the movie, but after, like, when Superman and Batman fight, I think that's when the movie really kind of goes downhill. I think everything before that's gold, but that's when, like, the Martha stuff happens, and then you get the email with all the Justice League, then you get Doomsday, and it's just degrades very fast.
Particularly when there's other versions of Doomsday that are done a lot better, which we're going to find out in the future.
Yeah.
So, to get back to the film that we're meant to be discussing.
The other one's more fun to discuss.
Oh, it is. Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I did have a question about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, in previous versions of Superman that I've seen, the little scalp of Kryptonite is enough to make Superman recoil.
Yeah.
So how does shooting him not kill him with this kind of semi-kryptonite ray?
Mm-hmm.
I guess because it's sort of diluted with a bunch of other stuff, so it just kind of weakens him. But, like, kryptonite is just, in general, is pretty inconsistent. Yeah. It just depends on the writer. But I think the generally accepted rule is that kryptonite is like poison nerve gas to him. If it's in gas form, like, that's how bad it is for him. So I guess take that and try and apply it to everything.
The only thing it really seems to do to Superman that you explicitly see is it gives him panda eyes.
Actually, I did like the kind of sickness that they
got. Yeah, but I thought it was very slapdash done, because I spent ages going, why has he got panda eyes? Like, I didn't like it. I kind of
Were you fully paying attention at this point?
No, I'd already decided it was like trash. And then up and went, why has he got eyeliner on? And I don't know, but yeah, okay. Like, there's just better ways of showing sickness for me, I guess.
Yeah, because when I was watching, it seemed really, like, obvious to me. Well, the way they were, like, zapping him, and then they showed the cells or whatever. And then his face started looking really bad.
I quite liked it, though. It made me laugh.
Superman's really tired.
I like how well you know me. Is this the point at which you stop paying attention? Probably.
So, at one point, because Lois at this whole time has a camera phone and is photoing the fight. Which, I mean, a 2006 camera phone, that's going to be... that's going to be...
It's not going to be good enough pictures to put in your put in your paper. Yeah. might look okay in newsprint, I guess.
And Lois gets caught in the crossfire by one of the kryptonite beams.
Ouch.
Yeah. Well, it's kryptonite though.
And as a result of that, Superman goes into Hulk mode. I mean, he literally does. He literally starts smashing.
He's just like, I mean, he really likes Lois. You know?
To be fair, I think if
he's worked out the way to her heart is to just beat up people for her.
If he saw anyone get zapped by kryptonite, I think he'd.
Do you?
Yeah,
think it'd be quite as smashy.
I mean, I'm just thinking of when Dan Turpin got dark-sided, and then Superman went absolutely mental in the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whenever they bother to show someone, because they never show anyone getting hurt, really, like any bystanders, but whenever they show a bystander getting hurt, you know, but obviously, yeah, Lois got hurt, and it's like, whoops, so he's quite cranky.
So
he's in love with her for some reason.
So Brainiac runs away as Superman takes Lois to hospital. They imply that Lois is being galvanized?
Yeah, I'm not really entirely sure, like, the exact process of how she was dying. Like, I knew it was, like, poison cells and stuff, but they kind of made it sound like she was, I don't know, something weird was happening, but...
Because I was wondering if she was going to be, like, turned to, like, a metallic...
Yeah.
It's what it made it sound like. I mean, that's how I took it, but I didn't really understand why they were like, you know.
But I think she essentially, from what we see, she just has like, you know, poisoning.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, because, you know, kryptonite's bad for people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell it's serious because Clark takes off his glasses.
Yeah.
And dumps them in the bin.
Yeah, that seems... Because I don't know if he's decided yet whether to give up being Clark Kent. I thought he decided that later, but I might be wrong.
I think he's going to decide, I'm just going to be Superman for the next few weeks until I fix this.
You don't need to put glasses in the bin, but I guess he's pretty upset, so...
Yeah.
You know. That, or they wanted to rip off the Spider-Man No More image.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Even Lex Luthor seems to... He passes comment on the fact that Lois was caught in the crossfire.
Mm-hmm.
And Lex seems weirdly, like, happy about it.
Yeah. Superman goes to the Fortress of Solitude.
Mm-hmm.
At which point the computer goes, you just said you were being tracked and you came here. Really?
Not thinking straight. It's the kryptonite.
Did he know he was being tracked? I must have picked
Well, he figured out he was being tracked fairly quickly, because he's like, Brainiac knew to attack me, so he either knows Clark Kent, or he has the ability to track me.
Yeah.
At which point, the Fortress of Solitude goes, if he can track you, he can track you here.
I mean, they keep the animated fortress as well. Because the animated fortress, I think, is the only time I can remember where he has to swim underwater to get to the fortress, and that's how it's hidden.
Well, that's cool.
So, the fortress in the animated series is really good, actually. He kind of builds it up over the course of the episodes. But yeah, so it's like, again, not supposed to be this, but they even take the same fortress. So
one thing I didn't get with this scene that comes up, this is maybe one of the things that allows them to go, okay, it's not the animated series. In the animated series, isn't the whole point that Brainiac is actually Kryptonian? Like, he is Kryptonian data. So why would he need to steal... Why would he be excited to be taking more Kryptonian data?
That's a question for Connor, because I do not know.
I mean, he already took all of Krypton's data. I guess he wouldn't have the data that Jor-El left Superman, because obviously Superman was the one thing that escaped him, but I got the... there was, like, no reference whatsoever to Brainiac blowing up Krypton that I recall in this movie, so...
So maybe it's not canon in this one.
Maybe this is just Brainiac is a creature from a different planet in this one.
Yeah, he's usually from Kolu, or however you pronounce it.
In appearance, he's actually similar to the. To the Injustice version of the character, the one voiced by Jeffrey Combs.
The green skin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's generally, that's his usual appearance. For a while, he was like a big kind of metal skeleton with like a big head, which is pretty cool. But yeah, it's one of those two, always. The green one's definitely his classic look.
Superman's told, in order to cure Lois, and also to cure you, because he is sick at this point, you need to go to the Phantom Zone to get Argonium 44. Now, I've looked this up. As far as I'm aware, this is invented purely for this film.
Wow. Well, they wouldn't... Yeah, they wouldn't want to get, like, a real... Something found on Earth, I guess. But
yeah. I like this. An Obtainium.
Oh, Jesus. I don't like that movie.
Me neither.
That movie's 11 years old.
Doesn't matter. It's still bad.
And we still have 6 sequels coming, apparently. Yeah, actually, this whole quest to the Phantom Zone thing, I actually really liked it. I liked how he had to go on this sort of dangerous quest to find a cure.
It was a little bit more interesting than something else happens,
And some of the stuff they did in there, which I'm sure we'll get to, I found interesting.
Yeah. Some of the stuff that is very interesting. Before he can go into the Phantom Zone, Superman's attacked by Brainiac, who goes to hack the base.
Yeah.
Superman goes, "Ah, you can't do that. It's taken to my DNA." And at that point, Brainiac goes, "I've got your DNA."
Oh, no.
So Superman blows up the solitude.
I thought that was pretty weird. It was just like, just blow up the last...
It's kind of like, why not? Yeah.
Because...
But, it was weak.
I mean, wasn't Brainiac just, like, acquiring that knowledge? I mean, I don't know. It just felt like a weird reaction.
Yeah.
I think his view was that he'd rather no one had it than Brainiac had it.
I get that, but...
I mean, I guess if Brainiac could, like, use it to... make new weapons and stuff, which he probably would, I guess.
So I'm assuming that what happens is Superman must have gone into the Phantom Zone during the explosion of the base.
I think so.
Because, Brainiac says he detects no energy signature or life sign.
Yeah, he can't find him.
Including the shard of the Fortress of Solitude that's left. He doesn't find that energy signature either.
Mm-hmm.
Shard that was left. Oh, is that... That pops up in the end or whatever?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a shard of... There is a shard left because it's it's not till the end of the film that Superman finds it, but you can surely Brainiac would notice that energy signature.
Just to play devil's advocate, maybe it went dormant or something and it knew it was under attack.
Maybe.
Right. So, we then get a compilation which I'm assuming is meant to imply that Superman is gone for days. In the Phantom
I thought, yeah, he'd been gone a while.
What montage was this? I can't even remember.
So there's a montage and it's basically Superman flying through the Phantom Zone. And then we cut to the hospital and...
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
In the hospital, they're like, Lois is fading. Then we cut to Lex reading a newspaper going, Superman is gone! And Mercy sits on another table. Then we get another scene where Perry White notes that Clark Kent has gone missing. And then there's a really stupid scene where they go, wait a minute, Superman is gone. And Clark has disappeared.
Yeah, right? And they still don't put it together. Yeah.
Well, ignoring the journalist thing, there really is no reason for them to put it together. They don't think Superman has a secret identity, so... I mean, for Perry, anyway.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I should say. Perry should probably be a bit smarter, but... Perry's got a business to run, damn it. You don't have time to observe things. Great Caesar's ghost.
What then happens is that Superman finds the substance he's looking for.
Yeah, his argonium.
Yes, and which makes him glow yellow, so I don't know, maybe it's like part Sinestro or something.
Sinestro spreading his seed everywhere.
Let's not think about that, please.
He seems like he'd do that, but...
Of course he would.
We're not an explicit podcast!
That's not explicit. Nothing he said was explicit. How you took it was explicit. Just pointing out.
Yeah, he's a gardener. What do you think I was talking about?
He's talking about argonium, which is known to be photobiotic.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm just making things up now. I'm trying to avoid a cat, so I apologise for the cat comments in the background that you might not be able to out. He's very demanding.
The worst, yeah, like, cats are fine when it comes to background podcast noises. It's dogs that specifically bug me.
Speaking of dogs.
I just heard that.
I know, right? It's like we summoned them. But that wasn't annoying.
No, it wasn't. Only my dog. I thought that the glowing Superman was really cool. It kind of just seemed like a power up or something. Like he leveled up in WoW or something. I don't know. Or he got like a paladin buff. It just seems, I like it. It was just
over 9,000.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, my friend did mention Dragon Ball Z because we were watching it together online.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, well, I figured I might not like it, so I'm going to do it with someone. Did we talk about the monster that attacked him?
No, we didn't. Yeah, he has a fight with a... Is this just a random monster, or is that actually an established... Phantom Zone thing?
There is, like, monsters in the Phantom Zone, but I'm pretty sure this was just, like, a random monster. I thought it was... I liked the idea that he got attacked by a monster. I thought the design was kind of, like, Ben 10-y.
It was a little bit... Yeah, it was a little bit weak.
It could have been, like, more, I don't know, squiggly or tentacly or something, because that stuff's always in the Phantom Zone. But, yeah, it was still neat, I think.
Yeah.
Having this big fight with this big, weird monster that wasn't Brainiac.
And apparently the Daily Planet has no journalists apart from Lois and Clark because Jimmy gets sent to the Lex Luthor party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're resorting to Jimmy, it's like, where is everyone else?
Right? Yeah.
It's like, yeah. It's called Karen Page.
Well, she's yeah, another person drops into being world's greatest.
Oh, because you go, this is the time to get a plug in, because you guys and the Immortal Iron Fist just did a retrospective of Daredevil, I believe.
Oh, we did. That's why she's so probably so late, so to the top of our head. Yeah,
we did complain about her a lot.
No, that's not true. We complained about her very sudden skills in journalism.
I complained about her then.
I'm just saying, I quite like Karen Page as a character, as do you.
Karen Page is the Death Omen.
It's a shame, because I'm a huge fan of Deborah Ann Woll.
Yeah. Well, we said that. I think she's incredible. I think she's an incredible actress. I just don't entirely like what they did with Karen Page. So, but I think she pulls off every bit of the acting to do with it. So it's really not a criticism of her.
Yeah.
Should we go back to Superman?
So,
where are we? In the Phantom Zone.
Yeah. Well, we're not in the Phantom Zone. We're definitely not in the Phantom Zone, because Superman finds and kills Lois.
Hooray.
And Lois figures out that Clark Kent is Superman.
I mean, Yay! It's not hard at this point. He pretty much has a sign on.
Well, yeah. I think she's like, she can't she's really see up. That much, so she's asked, like, hey, Clark, is that you? And he goes, yes.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. It's a bit of a hand wave, but quite a nice one. I quite like that. That won me over again. I was like, yeah, that's a nice way of doing it.
So, whilst this is happening, Brainiac flies to Lex Luthor's to the Luthor Luau, as I've written here. Before he arrives, Luthor shows that this version of Luthor doesn't even have charm.
No, he doesn't.
No.
He has nothing. Because it's
this awkward... Because that was another thing, was that isn't... Certainly any time that the Clancy Brown version of Luthor appears in the... From the animated series... He seems to be quite charming and quite...
He's suave.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You always think, like, because you do need a certain amount of that to do well in business, generally. Yeah. And this one... This is just such a bad Lex Luthor.
It might be the worst I've seen.
It's in fact, the one... I agree, actually.
Yeah. Lex is the dumbest. Brainiac attacks and takes over Metropolis.
Brainiac attacks?
Again, I know.
Again, he keeps doing it.
Conspicuously, Superman does not notice.
Mm-hmm.
Luthor then goes, right, I need to change my suit.
Classic Luthor move. Get the big suit out.
Yeah.
Whilst he's going to get the suit, Jimmy Olsen... goes, what would Lois do? Which is apparently go for, what would someone with intelligence do?
Yeah.
And he figures, I should follow Luthor and find out what's happening.
Well, that seems like exactly what Lois would do.
Yeah.
Actually, it does seem exactly what she would do. So he's not wrong. Something kind of dangerous that Superman might be needed to rescue me from.
Yeah.
Yep. One thing that Jimmy Olsen is able to find out is, oh, Brainiac and Lex are working together. I need to find evidence. Meanwhile, Lois Lane is being wheeled out of hospital by Clark.
Mm-hmm.
Conspicuously, no one is noticing that Brainiac is attacking Metropolis.
To be fair, at this point, I thought it was like a different part of the city.
Maybe, really maybe they click. Just didn't care.
I didn't click because the way they shot it, I think. Yeah.
So what then happens is that it transpires that, oh, Superman never left the Phantom Zone. This is a delusion.
Yeah.
I actually didn't see that coming. I was very surprised when it happened. Because I thought since this was like out of continuity, I thought, oh, so he does tell Lois who he is. Like, I didn't...
Since yeah, had, yeah, like, no I thought, I mean, stuff, it did seem that that's where they were going.
And so I was very surprised. I was actually quite impressed that, like, this movie managed to put in something that completely threw me.
Yeah.
I listen, the only reason I kind of twigged was, like, how come no one's noticed that Brainiac's attacking the city yet? And I was like, is Metropolis that used to invasions that if it's not in our part of town, we don't notice?
I think the answer to that is yes.
I guess I was also too focused on the whole scene between Lois and Clark that he finally told her. It kind of distracted me from.
Yeah, it was well done, because the same.
Yeah, so misdirection. It is actually, it's well done. As is the next thing I think is really well done as well, which is Superman being chased by these shadows?
Yeah.
I think this is a really good scene.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah, definitely.
So, as I said, I think all the Phantom Zone stuff is generally really strong.
Whilst this is happening, Luthor is fighting Brainiac. Luthor still thinks that, oh no, Brainiac's going to do the job. He's just playing along. And then we get the scene where Luthor goes, come on, okay, fine, great, we've done the acting bit, you can lose now. And Brainiac goes, ha-ha, no, I'm betraying you. To which Lex goes, ha-ha, I put a self-destruction in you. To which Brainiac goes, aha, I found it and deactivated it.
Yeah. I think everyone's still coming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... At least Luthor was intelligent enough to try and put a self-destruction mechanism in.
That is surprising, actually.
Yeah, it's like the only intelligent thing he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Superman emerges from the Phantom Zone. And he has the choice. Does he fight Brainiac or does he save Lois?
He fights Brainiac.
He fights Brainiac. Fair play to him.
Yeah.
Whilst this is happening, Jimmy gets cornered by Mercy. It doesn't go as Jimmy would want it to. Well, maybe he does. I don't know. He's king. So, did they do this switcheroo purely because it's morally acceptable for Mercy to beat up Jimmy and not Lois?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't even know. Like, I thought this whole thing was unnecessary.
Yeah, well, yeah. It was. I mean, I didn't really want to see more Jimmy, to be honest, at this point.
I mean, I know that they do it so that Luthor gets exposed, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I was just like, whatever.
So, well, we'll just address that plot one now. So, cut to Mercy beats up Jimmy. He hides. Mercy beats him up again. Gets the camera. And then Jimmy gets into one of the Lex suits, knocks out Mercy, but destroys the camera in the process, which means that it was all for naught.
Of course.
Hmm.
We have to reset everything afterwards.
Oh, wait. So he didn't even get anything. That's right.
No, the camera was destroyed.
It really was pointless then.
Literally. I guess it
just tied off the plot line of Jimmy's crush on Mercy.
Yeah. Which we really needed to find out about.
Yeah, I was just dying of suspense.
So, whilst this is happening, we have a proper Man of Steel level fight here. With Superman.
It's pretty crazy.
Sorry?
It's pretty crazy.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
There's wrecking balls, there's bulldozers. At one point, Brainiac picks up Lex Luthor's suit and starts hitting Superman with it.
I thought that was pretty great, actually.
Yeah. And there's a bit where Lex is like, rooting for you, buddy.
Superman just has the expression on his face like this idiot.
Yeah.
I thought the fight was really good, but it's a shame Brainiac's design was bad, but the fight itself I thought was pretty good. Like, it was very action-packed, very heavy, felt very big scale. Uh-huh. But I feel like it went on too long. Like, I was just like, man, this dude never dies.
What ends up happening is, eventually Brainiac figures, right, I can't help Superman anymore, so what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to try and hit civilians instead. And that doesn't work, so he decides, okay, I'm going to blow up a nuclear reactor.
Yeah.
And that's how the end of the fight is.
The ghost is nuclear. That's a really safe thing to do.
So they go to a nuclear reactor. Well, I'm assuming it's meant to be a nuclear reactor.
It does seem to be, yeah.
Yeah.
So Brainiac starts to overload it. Superman comes in and stops him. And then he tries to destroy Brainiac by putting him into the generator?
Yeah.
Which works?
Look, he just knew. It's instinctive. He's Superman.
Yeah, I kind of tuned out a bit during the fight. Towards the end, I was just like my eyes kind of glazed over, I think.
So Brainiac is defeated. Luthor comes and kind of stands over the body and goes, see, we beat him together.
Yeah.
To which Superman goes off to save Lois. Brainiac still doesn't die.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, he's Brainiac, but yeah.
It's true, he is Brainiac, yeah.
But at this point, he's a ball with four legs.
Fair.
And just as Superman's about to give Lois the cure, Brainiac stops him and destroys it.
I laughed out loud. I thought that was so funny. Like, he's giving it to her, then it just reaches through and just smacks the glass to the floor.
It was hilarious.
It was just like...
But it's okay, everyone. Don't worry. She gets healed.
So Superman kills Brainiac.
Again.
Yeah. He just has to get in his killing
mood. Including destroying... He destroys the chip now, which means that he's definitely dead.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there's probably some other Brainiac drones out there somewhere.
I'm sure.
Don't worry, kids. Brainiac's not dead.
But Lois almost certainly is. There's no way she can be saved now.
Until he cries.
I was like, just when that happened, I'm like, oh, please don't, like, cry onto her or something. Just
you knew, like, it was going to happen. It was so signaled. It's that kind of film.
Just go to the fortress and get some out of your bloodstream, because it's, like, in your blood now. Give some to her.
No, he has to cry.
He kisses Lois, starts crying whilst doing it, and that cures her.
Yeah, blah, blah.
It was so beautiful.
Oh, it was a touching moment.
I cry.
So poignant.
He should have just flown backwards to turn back time.
Let's not ever do that again. In fact, I'll take the tears over that any day. I'll take the memory wiping kiss over that any day.
So that saves Lois. Clark decides, oh no, we won't tell Lois that I'm Superman.
And I was just like, I'm like, just tell her.
I know. I remember saying to my friend, God, if he
doesn't tell her, I'm going to be pissed off. Like, because there's no reason not to. We're not in continuity here. So,
yeah.
I wanted him to get with her because Clark is just so miserable all the time. And he doesn't. Yeah.
And
it was also too predictable, him not telling her, I think.
Yeah. So Superman instead decides, okay, I'm just going to quit being Clark Kent.
For 2 minutes.
Yeah.
For 2 minutes.
Not for 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's an amazing Spider-Man 2 level quitting. So meanwhile, Lex is in hospital. He seems to be completely delusional, at which point they suddenly go, oh, we found a bit of kryptonite on the body, and it's got your logo on it.
Oh, I loved that. I mean, how bad this Lex is aside, like, Lex just putting his name and logo on every single thing he has is so amazing. In character.
Yeah.
Like, yes. I remember I was reading a comic and he had like this death satellite chasing Superman or something. And of course it has like the Lex logo on it.
Of course.
You know, like it's he's like just such everything an egotistical...
bat this and bat that. It's
yeah, exactly. So I really liked that touch. I thought that was great.
Meanwhile, Jimmy's in hospital and he has a visitor. Mm. And he finally notices her.
Why can't she notice me instead?
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm here. I'm better than Jimmy. No, just go chase Jimmy. Fine. Whatever.
I'd like cheeseburgers.
Yeah, hell, like, if that happened, if that was happening in real life, then anyway, let's move on.
It just seemed to exist to give Jimmy something to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is, like, weird. It's like, let's write a Superman movie and we need to give Jimmy something to do. Like,
wish we didn't. He annoyed me throughout, and this just annoyed me as well.
I guess because they were using... Yeah.
Well, just the whole noticing her when he's sick and she's like, let's... I like Jimmy generally, and this really annoyed me because it made me not like him.
Yeah. To be fair, he's young.
Doesn't matter. Like, it's not actually an excuse for being a...
I mean, how...
Tosser.
How bad does he...
Well, I mean, it is kind of essentially like, oh, I'm sick. Oh, now I like you. Now you're okay because you brought me presents. It's like, if there was a woman doing that, nobody would be like, oh, she's young.
Yeah.
That's true. I do hate women.
I think you cut out, Connor, because it just came out as I really do hate women. It was a great edit, but yeah.
We know that Jimmy's done wrong. If we're at a state where Rebecca is saying, I don't like Jimmy, you know it's bad.
Yeah, I love him, and this is awful. But yeah, anyway.
I guess.
No, I mean, I'm glad she's happy that he's paying her attention. But I think overall, it's still an unbalanced.
Oh yeah, I'm saying Jimmy's a teenager. But don't get me wrong, I still don't like him in this.
No, I know that, Connor. I'm not like. I didn't think you were like fully defending him. You're right. He does. I don't think I fully took on board that. So.
Yeah. So Clark goes to, he's going up to say, Lance, well, I'm going to quit now. I can't be Clark Kent anymore. And then a random, now I can never pronounce this character. What's his name?
Oh, I'm not pronouncing it. Mr. McStopley.
Mr. Mixy Spitlick. Or Mick Spitlick.
Him.
Who was like
appears off screen, and Lois was apparently wearing her suit under her scrubs.
That threw
that
me.
That actually, I was like, what? Yeah, that didn't surprise me in terms of like the depiction of idiocy. But yeah,
was she in bed with the suit the whole time? Do they just put like a sheet over her?
I mean,
better protect that suit from any fluids that come out of her mouth. I don't know. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
And I know it's like this is a thing with, you know, many weird things, but for some reason I found that the most jarring.
Yeah.
Like,
okie dokie. So that is the end of Brainiac Attacks.
Hooray. I think we spoke longer than the actual film.
Yes.
Did we? I don't know if you guys cut out for me. Did we talk about...
Yes, we've spoken for 93 minutes. The movie's 76 minutes long.
Did we talk about Superman deciding to stay in Metropolis? Because he decides to stay in Metropolis because if he leaves, she'll die. Because he comes to the realization that she'll always be reckless and stupid, even if he's not there.
That's so annoying.
And I found that hilarious. It's like, I can't leave because she will literally die because she's just this reckless.
Yeah.
And that really amused me.
So.
Yeah. Well, he probably needs to cry on her a few more times.
Mm.
So, Brainiac Attack was so successful that they never touched this version of the story again. Well, this is a completely standalone thing. Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen the Mr. McSpitlick stuff.
Yeah.
He's cool. And I think he could have worked pretty well for their style.
I mean, it's... There are good moments in this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just... Even if they just had the proper version of Lufa, I would have enjoyed it more, I think. And that's, that just threw me so far off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lufa dragged the whole movie down quite a lot, I think.
Yeah. I think so as well. Yeah.
Like, I think everything else I found annoying, but it's like, Lois is annoying in a lot of things. Jimmy's annoying in a lot of things, but Lufa being so annoying was just like, yeah. But, like, I went into this with really low expectations. And I came away from this just finding it mediocre with some good bits and a bad leg.
Yeah.
And I think people these days have a habit of really hating mediocrity instead of just, you know, hey, it's mediocre. So I think that's why it has such a bad reputation.
I think this is probably the first one of the films I've seen that is... So we've had movies that we've done so far. Obviously, the TV stuff you can't really judge in the same way because it's three episodes. I think this is probably the my least favorite of the movies we've covered so far. Gen 13's probably objectively a worse story, but it's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting and it's fun. And, like, we don't know the characters, so we don't know if they're acting wildly out of, you know.
Character, exactly. Yeah. And the only other one I put is the Mr. Freeze one's a bit dull.
Yeah. It's dull, but it's not. This one was infuriating.
Yeah. So this is probably the weakest so far. Next time that we're out will be something a very different, which is Teen Titans Trouble in Tokyo.
Hurrah.
It's set and made after the end of the Teen Titans TV series, and it's the last time that we see this version of the Teen Titans before 2019.
Wow.
However, we are going to be covering Superman after that, and I believe you'll be joining us for that one as well, Connor, and it is Superman Doomsday.
Hmm. Hurrah. I will just say, I really like that one. I liked it enough that good. I bought it on Blu-ray physically.
Okay.
So,
wow. I will take your word for it.
Yeah, it was my favorite animated DC animated movie for a while. Probably still like my second favorite. I'm really fond of it. So
mm-hmm.
Not to talk it up too much. It's still just an animated.
No, but still, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Hopeful. Because it's the first of two adaptations of The Death of Superman.
And both, funnily enough, are the best Superman ones, I think.
And I think the other one, I know that the other one, which came out...
2018. Yeah.
It's a lot more loyal to the actual comic book. I know that this one can... This
sort
version
of.
That we're seeing is more... Well, it covers a lot more ground in one film, and it also, it's, like, so for instance, this version of the story doesn't have the other four Supermen.
Yeah. I think, with Superman Doomsday, I think the fact that it's kind of its own thing, and it's very loosely adapted, is a strength of the movie, because you don't really compare it to the comics with a detriment. Like, it's just sort of its own spin on it, which I like. And The Death of Superman is still very good. And that's also very different, but structurally, you know, the whole, all of it is the death part. Whereas in Doomsday, it's the death part's not really that much of it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, Superman Doomsday is directed by Bruce Timm, and that's a seal of quality in itself.
And Lex is very good in that. I'm sure people will be pleased. He's great. So, yeah.
Yeah. James Masters, I think, plays him?
I think so. Yeah, he does. And we got, I think, Adam Baldwin on Superman.
Yes. Which, I don't know. It's one of those love his performances, hate the person.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that will be in 4 weeks' time. In between, we will be doing Teen Titans Trouble in Tokyo. And if you have anything that you would like to say about either of those movies, or if you want to say anything to us in general, you can tweet us at DCAUpodcast, or you can email us at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com.
Yes, email us now about Teen Titans.
Also,
I'm very excited for it.
I don't know if you want to plug your podcasts.
Oh, you already did. I'm on Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast where we talk about all things Superman. Yeah, check us out. And we are, Rebecca and I are on Sons of the Dragon, the Immortal Iron Fist podcast as well, where we talk about Iron Fist, but less all things, more a particular order. So,
yeah,
both fun. Both have lots of complaining and carrying on and my charming personality offset by much calmer people. So, yeah. Thanks very much for having me here. I'll make sure I plug you guys again.
Well, thank you for taking the time out. I know it's, as we kind of, you know, obviously you're calling from the other side of the world. So thank you very much for making time for us.
Yes.
That was really good timing for me. So.
It's pretty good timing for me, to be honest.
Oh. Yep, excellent. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email into us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.